Welcome to New World Notes. This is Kenneth Doust. Political scientist Michael Parenti has done as much as anybody to clarify my thinking about the world. Here's a point of his that really hit home. We often see a big gap between the professed goals and principles of powerful institutions and the actual effects of their actions. And we think, those blockheads! Can't they see that they're producing the opposite results of what they want? I recall a meeting of a local peace group. They decided to write to President W. Bush to try to get him to see that destroying Iraq wasn't helping his war on terrorism. In fact, it was only creating more terrorists. They'd explain it to Bush, and he'd see the error of his tactics and change them, and as the multitude sang Kumbaya, the world would become a better and more peaceful place. Parenti's insight is that the blockhead isn't Bush, it's the Peace Committee. People who take the government's professed goals at face value and then brilliantly discover that the means employed produce results at odds with the professed goals. And who then imagine that informing the nitwits in power of their own brilliant discovery will make the nitwits smarten up. People who fail to infer the real goals and real motives of the powerful. People who take obvious lies at face value. People who don't see that just because they've confused you doesn't mean that they're confused. These people are the blockheads, not Bush and Obama. Today we'll hear from three people, none of whom is a blockhead. They are Hartford activist Steve Fournier and political scientist David Modell, and last, Afghan democracy activist Malalai Joya. And it turns out, all talk about Afghanistan. Why? Because the Afghan war, or is it the AFPAC war, is another spree of criminal bloody murder based on lies and paid for with your tax dollars. And maybe it's time the multitudes stopped singing Kumbaya and started singing Won't Get Fooled Again. Here's Steve Fournier.
Sport of cowards. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton referred to a suicide bombing in Pakistan during her visit there as cowardly. She may be right about that, but no American diplomat should dare breathe that word while unmanned U.S. aircraft are launching missiles on houses and farms in distant lands. In a match as uneven as that between the U.S. and what's left of Afghanistan and Pakistan, most of the cowardliness is on our side. And it's becoming more and more difficult, even for patriots, to sympathize with the victors. Valor is unnecessary in this contest, and none is displayed. All the carnage is done by remote control. No nation has ever had the capacity to kill with the coldness we are now able to effect. We have weapons guaranteed to destroy populations that can be launched from thousands of miles away, and we can keep track of targets from space. There is no contest between soldiers, but only between people on the one side and machines on the other. Uniformed American terrorists, busy at automated workstations in Nevada, see more blood after shaving than they do in a month of what is now called combat or fighting. They willingly incinerate babies without ever risking a hair of their own. The press, as we affectionately still call the news desk of our entertainment industry, is positively buoyant over the drone attacks, content that we are inflicting more casualties than we are sustaining. Most public policy is now carried on to satisfy these folks' demands, and the current military adventures are no exception. Political correctness, of which newsmen are the authors, requires that Americans be victorious in all military engagements, and so explosions in foreign cities are like music to a correspondent's ears. There is no legal authority for what our government is now doing. Bombing people with robots is recognized everywhere but here as a war crime, and it was only very recently that our government and the media began to advocate the assassination of foreigners. It's against our laws, and so are our various military adventures. There is a procedure in the Constitution for war, but we have not followed it, and so all of this killing is unlawful. The nation's founders must be spinning in their graves. The idea of a sovereign targeting and killing people without arrest, trial, or any determination of guilt was an old one by the time Jefferson and Adams came of age. Although they disagreed on much, they were united against this sort of justice. What's ironic is the spirit of compliance that seems to be in vogue now. You can't get people to obey the speed limits, but they seem willing and even eager to give up basic civil rights. Almost nobody is kicking about the nation's assassination policy, even though it should raise some questions. For instance, do I, as a citizen, have a legal right to advocate your assassination? May I advocate government death squads in general to terminate wrongdoers? May I advocate the assassination of named individuals, such as Osama, for instance? If I say Democratic office holders should be lined up and shot, am I doing something wrong, or am I guilty merely of bad taste? Can I say my neighbor should be killed? My ex-spouse? Charles Manson? Jesse Jackson? Janet Jackson? If I can't do it, then neither can Obama. The law gives neither of us a license to kill. Honor, courage, and the rule of law may simply be the price a nation must pay to bask in the luxury of superpower status. Today, it's mass murder by remote control. We can only imagine what feats of cowardice will become possible if we keep to the present course.
Political scientist David Modell seconds Steve Fournier's point that all the lies in the world won't turn a war crime into a bed of roses. Modell goes a step further and infers the real reason NATO is killing Afghanistan. Bin Laden be damned. It's trouble with a capital T, which rhymes with P, which stands for, well, listen on. Modell's essay was published November 13 in Counterpunch Online. I've edited it a little for radio. It's titled, NATO's Chimerical Enemy in Afghanistan. Interesting adjective. A chimera is an imaginary monster compounded of incongruous parts, like John Barth's fiction. Here's Modell. The narrative of the Afghan campaign against the Taliban could have been written by Samuel Beckett or Harold Pinter. Sidebar comment, typical Canadian. Modell cites an Irishman and an Englishman while overlooking a better American example, John Barth, author of a volume of fiction whose very title is Chimera. Sorry, I'm having another graduate school flashback. Back to Afghanistan. The main actors in this absurd fiasco are either unaware of the real history of recent events in Afghanistan or, more likely, are consciously pursuing the de facto objective of stabilizing the country under American control for the purpose of constructing and safeguarding a pipeline from the Caspian Basin to the ocean. The Taliban took power in 1996. The Clinton administration immediately extended the red carpet to them because the administration thought they could cajole the Taliban into signing an agreement to construct a pipeline. After wining and dining the Taliban and executives of the oil company Unocal, the Clinton officials discovered that the Taliban had already signed an agreement with an Argentinian company. The Taliban refused to revoke this agreement. The Clinton administration also wanted to solve the problem of the Taliban's support for terrorist training camps in Afghanistan. Forces trained there were responsible for a number of terrorist attacks, including the attack on the USS Cole in Yemen. After negotiating with Clinton, the Taliban agreed to stop supporting the training camps in exchange for foreign aid. Unfortunately, before the deal was signed, George W. Bush was sworn in as president. From the beginning, the Bush administration had secret plans to invade Afghanistan in order to build and protect a pipeline. They began planning the invasion in March 2001, 6 months before 9/11. Recognizing the dangers ahead, the Taliban offered 3 times to hand over bin Laden to the Americans. The Bush administration rebuffed them each time. Let me read that again. The Taliban offered 3 times to hand over bin Laden to the Americans. The Bush administration rebuffed them each time. Finally, in late 2001, after the invasion had begun, the Taliban offered both to hand over bin Laden and to close down all terrorist camps in Afghanistan. The administration rebuffed the Taliban yet again. Because the real reason for invading Afghanistan was not bin Laden, but the pipeline. America and NATO are now engaged in a bloody, foundering war with the Taliban and with angry Afghans who have lost relatives or friends to American indiscriminate bombing. Thousands of innocent peasants have been killed by collaterally challenged NATO bombers. There is no real economic development in Afghanistan, and the only opportunity to make life better there is to withdraw all the foreign troops. These troops have no right to be there in the first place, and have been committing war crimes since they first stepped on Afghan soil. And Professor Modell ends on much the same note as Steve Fournier. The U.S. and NATO are committing war crimes aplenty in Afghanistan. And for what? Modell demolishes the Bush-Obama lies that were pursuing bin Laden and or driving out the evil Taliban. Bush had offered yet a third lie about why we're killing people in Afghanistan. That we're doing it to save the country's poor women from oppression. Here, refuting all 3 lies, is an Afghan woman, Malalai Joya. She was a member of the Afghan parliament until they unlawfully expelled her. She remains a crusader for democracy and human rights in her country. In a recent speech in Vancouver, Joya joins Modell in saying, the first step to this goal is getting the U.S. and NATO out of her country. Stop the bombing and stop supporting this criminal puppet man, as she calls him, President Karzai. And stop supporting the fascist warlords that he's allied with, whom we grandly call the Northern Alliance. All these people, and the Taliban too, are just competing gangs of oppressive, misogynistic fascists, Joya says. The only difference is that the Taliban never pretended they were fighting for democracy. We'll hear half of her 25-minute talk today. Joya's English is just a bit hard to understand. Obama is Obama, for example. If you take the trouble to listen carefully, though, I think you'll find it well worth the effort.
Right now, I come from a land of tragedy like Afghanistan that 8 years ago, after 9/11 tragedy, U.S. and NATO, they pushed us from the frying pan into the fire. These North Alliance fundamentalists, who are brother in creed of the Taliban, they did civil war in Afghanistan from 92 to 96. Alone in Kabul, in the capital of my country, they killed more than 65,000 innocent civilians. And to know better about them, you can see Human Rights Watch website, Amnesty International website, and many books has been written about them. But these fascist people, these cruel people, that they are a bunch of killers and puppets, and first of all, misogynists, seem like Taliban, they come in power and imposed on my people. That's why today's situation for my people is quite catastrophic, especially for the women of my country, this half of population. Today, situation of women in most of provinces as catastrophic as it was under the domination of Taliban. But the only difference between Taliban period with now is that all of these crimes are happening under the name of democracy, women rights, human rights. We are talking about women rights in Afghanistan, but they are most of women of my country, they do not have human life. These warlords, these misogynists who are in power, seem like Taliban. Together now, they even cut the nose and ears of the woman through hot waters on them. 1 month before, in Mazar Sharif, a misogynist man cut into pieces two women. Today, killing of women, that much easy for these warlords like killing a bird. Rape cases, kidnappings, acid attacks, domestic violences, kidnapping of women are increasing rapidly. 14-year-old Bashira was a young girl that she has been raped by three men, one of them son of the member of the parliament, Haji Payinda. He is the cruel commander of Abdul Rashid Dostum. And he changed the age of his son by document less than 18 that do not be punished, and now he's free. That's why these violences against women increasing rapidly, because they are not only Taliban, warlords as well, that who are in power together continue to their fascism. The women of my country, even they didn't gain the limited rights that they enjoyed in the centuries of 60s, 70s and 80s. U.S. government, NATO, Canada, shamelessly they portray themselves to, they are telling big lies to the people of their country through mainstream media that first time we brought women rights in Afghanistan, which is not true. As after 9/11 tragedy, they said to you that women do not wear burqa now and they are free, etc. Many propaganda like that, while today most of women are wearing burqa to be alive. Today this disgusting burqa, which is a symbol of oppression, as always I'm saying, it's like shroud for life body, but this burqa today gives lives. It is true in some big cities like Kabul, Herat, Mazar Sharif, when you go, some women, they have access to job and education. First of all, even in these big cities do not have my people security, men and women. But in faraway provinces, situation for my people, especially women, is like hell. Today, there are not only women of my country that who suffer a lot. Millions of Afghan men and women, both of them do not have liberation at all. They suffer from injustice, insecurity, corruption, joblessness, poverty, etc. U.S. and NATO, including Canada government, occupied my country under the banner of women rights. And day by day, these warlords who are with the mask of democracy, they are in power. They themselves tear their mask for the great people around the world. Maybe you hear that recently these Shia fundamentalists in Afghanistan, they made misogynist law against Shia women in my country, which is quite similar like Taliban. So an article of this law is completely like Taliban period, you can see in Human Rights Watch website, but let me give you one example of this law. They ban women to go out or go to the doctor or have job without permission of their husband, which is elementary rights of the woman. In this disgusting law, despite national and international condemnation, has been passed and has been signed by Hamid Karzai, this shameless puppet man, who did compromise with these terrorist misogynists, and still he is doing compromise with them. The only difference between Taliban period with now is that day by day these warlords, they are making legal their crimes. If they make this kind of disgusting law or do not make, they are already in power and continue to their fascism. To know better about deep tragedy of my country, I think only this point is enough that after 8 years, they changed my country to the center of drug. Today, 93% of opium produced from Afghanistan. And recently, maybe you also got this news from New York Times that brother of Hamid Karzai, Ahmad Wali Karzai, is a famous drug trafficker, in the meantime receiving millions of dollars by CIA. My people call him a small bush in Kandahar province. And many other drug lords who have high posts in Karzai's regime, they are in power. That's why since 2001 until now, 4,500% opium increased. And every year, through dirty business of opium, $500 million alone goes into the pocket of Taliban. And to know better about the ongoing catastrophic situation of my country, this example also enough that recently UNDP gave report that Afghanistan is ranked 181st out of 182 countries. regarding official reports, $36 billion the government of Hamid Karzai this 8 years received from the international community under the name of orphans, widows, reconstruction of Afghanistan, education, etc. But most of these money went into pocket of warlords, drug lords, these NGO lords, donors, and these officials themselves. FAO gave report that 18 million people of Afghanistan, they live on less $2 a day. Media in Afghanistan gave report, two mother of my country in Herat and Ghor province, they are ready to sell their babies for only $10 because cannot feed them. In many examples like this, as now it become open secret for the great people around the world. But it's still your government, Canada government, being part of NATO, that this 8 years they followed the wrong policy of the U.S. government. They are sending their more taxpayer money to such a mafia corrupt system of Hamid Karzai. Now my people, they squashed between two powerful enemies. From the sky, occupation forces bombing, killing civilians, most of them women and children, under the name of Taliban. In the ground, Taliban and warlords together continue to their fascism. Before to tell you about role of the troops, let me say on behalf of my people condolences through you to those suffer mom in Canada and also other countries who lost their sons and their daughter in my country as a soldier. My message to them is that please change your sorrows and your tears to the strength and raise your voice against the wrong policy, against the war crime of your government. Because these troops themselves are the victim of the wrong policy of their government because send them for bad cause, for war. Your government, U.S. government, say war of Afghanistan is good war, war of Iraq is bad war. I don't know what's the difference between the word of war. And role of these troops in Afghanistan. Few examples is enough to know better about their role. As recently in Faro province on May this year, they did bombing and one day more than 150 civilians has been killed, most of them women and children. Even they used white phosphorus and cluster bomb. 11 bodies their family still didn't find because they has been cut into pieces. Even they are bombing our wedding parties, what they did in Ninghar, in Nuristan, and also in Kandahar. In Ninghar, 47 innocent civilians, including the groom and bride, in a wedding party has been killed when these occupation forces did bombing. On 9th of September, recently, 200 civilians has been killed in Kunduz province in the north of Afghanistan when they did bombing. After all of these war crimes, Karzai's mafia system, this corrupt system, say apologize. Sorry, White House says apologize, and Karzai's mafia system, this corrupt system, this puppet regime, say thank you. That is it. I think the blood of my people is not water that they shed. It's worth as much as the blood of Westerner world. Regarding official figures, less than 2,000 Talib has been killed. More than 8,000 innocent civilians has been killed, most of them women and children. You can see Professor Mark Herald website, this great Democrat American man who dedicated his hours to this website, and you can see the pictures of these victims in his website as well. And still they continue to their war crime in my country. But when Mr. Obama took office, unfortunately, his first news for my people was more conflict, more war. Foreign policy of Obama is quite similar like criminal Bush. And I think if Obama really honest for my people, first of all, he must say apologize to my people and end this occupation, criticize this criminal Bush. I think only criticize is not enough. He must try to bring this criminal Bush to the International Criminal Court for the war crime he committed. And now Obama declared barbaric Taliban as a moderate to bring them also in power while we have no moderate Talib. They put soft name on these towers to have a reason through mainstream media to you to bring Taliban also in power, to make complete the circle of warlordism, draglordism, terrorism in my country. Also, they are trying to bring a fascist man like Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, who his name is in the blacklist of the UN. Criminal Bush put price on the head of this terrorist man, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, $25 million if anybody finds the dead or alive body of this terrorist. But Mr. Obama invited him to join the government as well. And now he starts war in Pakistan as well. I think situation of Iraq and Afghanistan is enough better to know that democracy never came by war, by cluster bomb, by barrel of gun, by white phosphorus. And you are looking at now Obama following war in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in supporting the criminal regime of Israel, what's going on today in Palestine, then receiving Nobel Peace Prize. So in such disastrous situation, they are talking about so-called free election in Afghanistan, which is very ridiculous. I think it was the most ridiculous and fraudulent election even in the world. Mr. Harper, your Prime Minister called this election, this tragic drama in my country that says it was a successful election, which is a big lie. And also that other politicians, they are through mainstream media, they are trying to put more dust on your eyes as well. I think you also agree with us. Election under the shadow of gun, warlordism, drug lordism, awful corruption and occupation forces has no legitimacy at all. My people, people on the streets before of the result of the election, they use this proverb, the winner will be like the same donkey, but with new saddle. And you saw the same donkey, but with same saddle come in power. Hopefully do not be insulted to the donkeys, this useful animal.
Malalai Joya was talking about the predicted results of the recent so-called election in Afghanistan. But don't her words hit home about our own change of administration? Same donkey, new saddle. And apologies to real donkeys. You can hear all of this admirable speech at our show's website, http://newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Now that baseball season is over, the American national pastime reverts to making fun of Canadians. And I've done my share this half hour, eh? But seriously, for the Malalai Joya talk, thanks to the good folks of Vancouver, to www.stopwar.ca, and to the admirable Canadian alternative radio guy, Alex Smith, of station CFRO and www.ecoshock.org. For the latest Jeremiads of Steve Fournier in print, check out www.currentinvective.com. And thanks to Steve for recording Sport of Cowards exclusively for New World Notes. This program comes to you from the spacious underground studios of community station WWUH-FM, provided rent-free by that beacon of light in darkest Connecticut, the University of Hartford. As for the opinions expressed here, it goes without saying that, not to mention... yes, another John Barth reference. Thanks for listening. I'll get to my non-carborundum, and please, let's all resolve we won't get fooled again. Ciao.